Moncrief on News Talk.
Now these are pearls. Hard to imagine anything more beautiful.
Not that hard.
I'd love a set just like these.
Should I be worried?
Why, Mr. Wayne, I have no idea what you mean.
Well, I hear things tend to go missing around you, Miss Kyle. A lot.
What can I say? I like nice things. And sometimes, they accidentally come home with me. But really, most of that talk is just gossip. So I've had a few slaps on the wrist in court. What girl hasn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should buy me a drink sometime.
Should I?
Yes. I mean, I'm practically the only eligible woman in Gotham that you haven't taken out. I'm tempted to take it personally. Besides, we have so much in common. You know, the whole wealthy orphan thing.
Your father's in prison for tax fraud.
Well, I know it's not exactly the same, but still, I bet we have more to talk about than most of the floozies I see on your arm.
And that was a clip from Batman Caped Crusader, which is available for streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Now, I'm very happy to be joined by James Dempsey, News Talk's very own TV critic. James, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us all about that first one, Batman.
Well, obviously, it's not the first iteration of Batman to hit either the silver or small screen. It is probably one of the first to hit the streaming screens, shall we say. And it has had a bit of a rocky path to viewership, in the sense that HBO Max in the US was developing it for quite a long time, and then it has had a complete and utter disaster with a lot of its animated shows, and have dumped it as a project completely, and it was picked up by Amazon instead with the deep pockets that they have. And it is an animated retelling of Batman, and that shouldn't put people off, because arguably the most critically acclaimed version of any Batman variation is the 1990s cartoon series Batman, the animated series. Are you familiar?
I am, but I'm old enough to remember the Batman years and years ago. I still watched it as a
kid. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Same thing, yeah, yeah. It was fantastic. It was a superb show. You know?
Well, that one starred an actor named Kevin Conroy, who died in 2022, and perhaps is like synonymous amongst millennials as the voice of Batman.
Right. It's a deep, deep, sinister voice, I presume.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the style of that show was this kind of like 1950s neo-noir, and it was developed by a guy named Bruce Timm, who is the creator of this. So he is certainly taking creative rehashing, shall we say, from his own work 30 years ago. But all in, the thing that I kind of was most struck by with this was I wasn't quite sure who it was for, right? Now, the thing, when you think about like superheroes at the moment, is we're kind of now in our post-superhero glut. People aren't too fond of the movies anymore. The shows are doing okay, but what they have all become is hyper-violent. Right? As in, even the animated shows, like I'm thinking like Invincible or The Boys, which is not animated, but they are superhero stories that are incredibly visceral, blood
awful.
And guts everywhere. And they're ironic. It's like, let's, you know, throw Shrek and
Toy Story together. It's an awful movie.
Into
together.
A blender, right? Now, this is not that.
Right.
This is...
Family-friendly.
Family-friendly. Now, I want to put a little note of caution in there. Certainly, there is a bit of violence. You know, I mean, it's Batman, right? So there's a bit of punching. There's a few characters who meet their timely ends, or untimely ends, rather, on screen, but not in graphic or violent ways, right? So I think it's recommended for, you know, 12s and above, and I'd say many under 12s could probably handle it as well.
Right. And so the Batman franchise just keeps coming, does it, basically? I remember it back in the 60s, honestly, when I was like 4 or 5
Adam
years
West
old. Yeah, exactly. It was fantastic. Kapow and all the
things. Well, actually, they pay tribute to that with a villain in this series called Onomatopoeia, who only speaks in words like kapow and bam and whack. But yeah, Batman, I mean, look, here's the thing. It's a very recyclable story in the sense that viewers are immediately, there are a few viewers who do not know Gotham City, do not know Batman, do not know Alfred, his butler, are not familiar with the various baddies on screen here, right?
Including the penguin in it as well, I presume?
The penguin features in the very first episode, voiced, I suppose I won't say, just in case people have missed it, because they have done something quite unusual with the penguin. Look, it's, you know, it's 2024, right? So they have set this Batman in a kind of 1940s style,
right.
But it is certainly, like, I'm reluctant to say it's the woke target, but let's just say he's awake, right?
He's awake, yeah. And who does the voice then?
So this time around, it's Hamish Linklater.
Yep.
He's an actor that people would probably best know from Midnight Mass, which was a show on Netflix about an island off the coast of Massachusetts, I think, that went on for 5 episodes too many. But he does a very, very good Batman. I mean, he's gravelly. His tones are there. When he's Bruce Wayne, he's like... you know, dandy playboy, which I think is what Bruce Wayne is trying to be. But you've got a great voice cast as well. I mean, Christina Ricci plays Catwoman. You have Minnie Driver in a role. You have Jamie Chung.
I've just seen her. Minnie Driver is the penguin.
Minnie Driver
How
is
remarkable
the
is that? That's a great idea. I love Minnie Driver, by the way. I'm a huge fan of her.
Yeah, she is and a ruthless penguin.
Is there an English accent? Or
no, she's a no. She's a cabaret performing yank in this.
Oh, very good.
They do take, I mean, liberties isn't the quite thing to say. I mean, they're free to do whatever they want with the characters, right? But they do reinvent some of them. I think people will be very familiar with Harley Quinn, who has become probably the second most famous DC baddie in the last 30 years. Was an original creation of producer Bruce Timm on the animated series 30 years ago. And they have created a whole new backstory for her. She's a supporting character in a number of episodes. All in. The more I watched it, the more I liked it.
The more you liked it. It does sound great. That's Batman Cape Crusader on Amazon Prime. By the way, Jack, the fact that Amazon picked it up, is that a concern or not? I mean,
you're saying nobody
else really wanted it or how does that work?
Oh, absolutely not. No. I'm sure, like, with a, every streamer wants a recognisable intellectual property that they will think an audience will bring. And they've already picked up at Christmas, there was like a short animation film called like Happy Christmas Batman or something about a childhood Bruce Wayne. They're making a sequel to that, so I think there's legs in this.
Is the same theme tune? I used to love the theme tune.
No, it's not.
That's a shame. But still, you recommend it.
Yeah, I do.
It's good. Great. Now, the next one is Women in Blue, a new episode every Wednesday on Apple TV.
How the f*** are we not carrying weapons?
Look, the way I understand it, it's a bureaucratic thing, a bit of paperwork that has to be done.
How long will that take?
I don't know.
And what are we supposed to do with this?
The coin purse is so you can call the police in case you witness any illegal activity.
Are you... you heard him, right? Did you hear him or not?
Yes, Val. Hang on. Calm down.
You expect that we, who are the police, are going to call the police?
And the whistle?
In case there's illegal activity coming your direction, blow it.
Well, in that case, Captain, since you know perfectly well how to blow, you can keep it.
Valentina.
What?
You'd better control her.
She'll be okay.
She'll be unemployed.
All right, and where can we pick up our patrol cars?
That was a clip from Women in Blue, which is out every Wednesday on Apple TV. Now this one, James, Women in Blue, tell us all about this. The creators, Pablo Aramendi, Fernando Rosar, who are famous, I imagine, at those pairs of these things.
I mean, I think they're more famous if you're Mexican, put it that
way,
right?
I think I've heard of Pablo for some strange reason.
Okay,
but it's set in Mexico City, 1971. Four women join the police force.
So obviously I will say in the clip, I used the dubbed version rather than the Spanish language one because we should pay be respectful to our audience. But this is a bit of a hodgepodge. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with Latin American telenovelas.
Not very. No, I must say.
All right. Well, I mean, they are their versions of soap operas, and they are notorious for being completely and utterly ridiculous and melodramatic and over the top. And while this is not a telenovela, it certainly has some telenovela roots in its production, especially in its biggest star, who is an actress named Barbara Mori, who plays Maria. She cut her teeth on the biggest telenovela of the aughts in Mexico and has restrained none of her performance since then. So all in, this is a very handsomely made, beautifully shot, well-produced melodrama. And it says in the title card right at the beginning, inspired by true events, and inspired is doing a lot of heavy lifting here, right? Because these creators, they, you know, it's set in 1971, but actually their inspiration was the fact that the Mexican city police first introduced women in 1930. So, okay. So 41 years earlier. But instead here we get a kind of like, okay, so set in the 70s, it's going for mid-century modern style.
Does it have the 70s vibe and style and all that kind of well created, is it?
Very much. Now, for me, it read a little bit more 50s than 70s, right? Okay, the skirts are a little shorter, the hair's a little longer, but the cars are Cadillacs and the houses are all, you know, chic, right? Super chic, rather than that orange-brown gaudiness.
And the soundtrack, I hope, as well.
And the soundtrack is a lot of like bossa nova and brass and
Latina.
Yeah, but I wasn't in Mexico City in 1970. I don't know how it was like, right? But anyway, so the story centers around four different women, and they are kind of playing different archetypes, right? So we have Maria, who is the put-upon mother at home, bored in her marriage, is her husband cheating? Oh yeah, you better believe he is, right? You have her sister Valentina, who is the kind of protester out demonstrating for women's rights. You have Angeles, who is played by Chimena Sariñana, and she's the kind of bookish one. She's the Velma from Scooby-Doo, right? And I mean that in glasses, wig, everything. Right? And then we have Gabina, who is the hard put upon daughter of a policing family whose father won't let her join the police.
Right.
And into the fray comes a serial killer named the Undresser, who of course is stalking women in Mexico City and leaving them in a state of undress and obviously death. And in order to kind of counteract this negative publicity, the police force decides just to allow women to join to get a bit of good press. And of course, as we heard in the clip there, they are not getting any guns to carry, they don't get a car, they're treated really poorly by their male counterparts. And when I say all of this happens within the first three episodes of 10, because it zips along at an incredible pace.
Right. Now, it must be tough having four separate characters to look after. Did they all get equal billing? Are they all, their stories are told equally? Are they?
I would say Maria is our top leading lady here, right? And in addition to being the most put upon of wives and brilliant detectives in training, the women and officers are constantly facing misogyny from various...
Classic 1970s style.
Classic, right? Yeah. Now, we have seen versions of this story told many times before, from Cagney and Lacey to, you know, Prime Suspect, right? And for me, again, the more I watched this, the more I liked it.
I had to
get into the rhythm of it, but I want to warn you in advance, it is melodrama, right? As in...
Yeah. Don't take it too seriously.
Do not take it too seriously at all. It's some of the finest wig work I have seen on screen since The Americans. I don't know if you watched The Americans, but...
So it's worth it for the wigs alone.
Worth it for the wigs alone.
Right. Yeah.
But all in, go in knowing that you are going to get pantomime villainry 1 second, smacks across the face another second, barbs another second, and then and then they'll be making chicken nuggets for the children, after a shift.
Right.
And everything is just completely ridiculous, silly, but charming in its own kind of way.
And that's the nature of it, basically.
I
expect it to be a bit melodramatic, but also,
Very much so.
Is it fun or is it a bit dark and violent?
You know, like, it kind of oscillates between both of them, right? Because as I said, so the through line throughout the series is their hunt for this serial killer, right? And I mean, we see him in action.
So
we're getting these very brutal, not violent in the sense of we're not seeing a lot of the action. Yeah. For me, it's like Call the Midwife meets Prime Suspect.
Okay,
it's somewhere in the middle.
What
of
a fascinating idea. So you'd recommend it again?
Yeah, probably would.
That's Women in Blue every Wednesday on Apple TV Plus. Now our third one is called Love is Blind UK.
Hello?
Hey.
Catherine's definitely my number one. The things we've got in common is just crazy.
You all right?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm quite a spiritual person. I believe in energy, and the energy feels good. It makes you tingle. Not in your pants, but in your heart. You had a good day?
I've not done anything.
Have you not? Oh, I've not either. I'm buzzing.
But feeling anxious because I hope that she feels the same about me.
Oh, what are you wearing?
Pajamas.
Say! I tell you what, though, I'm so comfy.
Honestly, no, I feel so at ease with you. I'm nervous and it's butterflies. It's like, you know, if you're going at a theme park, and you know, if you're going to a theme park, right, and you're in the queue.
It's like exciting.
Yeah, this is the big one in Blackpool. It's not the teacups. Do you know what I mean? It's like a big ride. So, yeah.
That was a clip from Love is Blind UK, streaming the first half of the season now on Netflix. Now, this looks atrocious to me. Yet another dating?
I don't know, Luke.
Would you mind telling me how come there's so many of them for the start? But James, tell us about
you
this.
You, obviously, as a scientist, must appreciate all of these dating shows where they talk about the experiment.
Well, indeed. It's one big experiment. Yeah.
So Love is Blind debuted in the US in 2020. And obviously, this was, you know, I can't remember if it, well, it must have been middle of the pandemic. And it came at the right time for people who were stuck at home to see a bunch of people stuck in a tiny room talking to a screen and falling in love, right? And since then, it has become a juggernaut for Netflix. And by that, I mean it has had 6 seasons of the US version, but then also this UK one in Brazil, Japan, Sweden, Germany, Argentina, Mexico, and the UAE to come shortly, right? And into that fray is always the same idea. They bring 30 people together, 15 men, 15 women. They separate them in like a prison,
right? Not some luxurious...
a luxurious prison.
Oh, it's luxurious. Okay, I was imagining villas or something. Right?
And they force them for 10 days to go on these... I mean, force is pushing, but you know, yeah, they volunteer to take part in an experiment, and for 10 days they date each other without sight unseen, right? So it's all about falling, in theory, in love with the person you hear on the other side of a screen. And then if their romance kindles at the end of that 10 days, they can immediately and really weirdly when you're watching it declare their love and then propose, and then they have an actual physical meeting, right? And obviously the most fun of the show is when it works out and it's charming, but even more so when the screen opens and, of course, love is no longer blind.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
Yeah, right? Like, what I always find odd about it is they go to great lengths about going, you know, this is an experiment, love is blind, and then as soon as they see each other, the love is lost.
Right? Completely, in a second.
Right, but then we follow them outside as they go on a holiday. In the US one, they go to Mexico. In the British one, they go to Corfu. And then we follow them on a very painfully awkward path to a wedding, and I mean white gown, tuxedo and all. And the whole hook of the show then is my understanding is contractually, if they get that far, they have to go through with the wedding.
All right.
And then they must decide at the altar in front of their few gathered family members willing to show up whether or not they'll dump each other live in front of
everyone. Right?
Right? Now, look, this is trash.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Premium the usual, trash. It's silly, it's camp, it's odd, and the whole point is it's hyper-produced, right? The producers here can tell a story like no one else.
Is it scripted?
It's not
extent.
Scripted.
No, not quite.
Yeah. I don't think it's scripted, but certainly the problem is with each iteration of the show, the participants are more aware of how to stay on the screen, right? I don't think anyone putting themselves forward for this experiment is doing it for love beyond singularly, rather that they're doing it for love and perhaps a bit of fame and notoriety. And into that fray come villains and heroes and champions and no goodens and a whole mix of people.
Yeah.
All in, I'm not going to lie, did I watch all 4 episodes available in one sitting? Yeah, pretty much. Because
did you?
Because there's something oddly
compelling about
it. Right? It zips along, it's really silly, it's really naff, and yet it has won my heart.
Now, and as we mentioned already on this section, we've had Little House on the Prairie, Cagney and Lacey. Is it blind date then? With Silver Black? Is it a blind date for the...
Well, there aren't a lot of our laughs in it, I'll say that, right?
Okay. There's no presenter as such either.
There are presenters, the Willises. So in the US version is Nick Lachey and his wife Vanessa Lachey and Emma Willis and whatever the guy's name. He was in Busted, I guess. Right. Matt Willis, thank you.
Matt Willis,
they compare the whole thing and I guess are supposed to be a vision of married bliss.
They're the example. Are they,
yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, really... If you are joining Love is Blind late to the party, just go back to the US season 1 because, frankly, That's when it hit its peak.
Is that the best? Yeah, the absolute best. Very good. James, thanks ever so much. That's James Dempsey. That last one was Love is Blind UK, streaming the first half season on Netflix now.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.